No. It's now time. It's okay. So what were we talking about?
The Gemara.
And
the opposites of Levan and...
Yes. And Levan. So for example, we're talking about Ayelet Ashachar. What is Ayelet Ashachar? That's the... What is the... It's Ayelet is a deer. And Ashachar is
the morning.
But Shachar is from Shachor.
Black.
Which means day or night.
Oh. Night.
Yeah. So how do you call Ayelet Ashachar, which is the symbol of the morning, night? But before, what is Ayelet Ashachar? It's the moment when the morning starts, when the sun rises up. In other words, there is dark, and suddenly from the darkness comes the light. And the more dark it is, the more you see the light. That's why it's called Ayelet Ashachar. And that's how the Geula is also going to come. The Geula is going to come in a spot where it's going to be very dark in order to show the Geula. In other words, you see, if you're not missing anything, you don't want anything. In other words, in order to want, in order to do things, you need those things that they have to be, you miss them. Because otherwise you don't want anything. If everything is okay, everything is okay. So it's funny to say, but in order to achieve certain things, you need to feel that you missed, you haven't got them. You need to feel the minus in order to get to the plus. Otherwise, there is no plus. There is nothing. It's like the same way always this Rav Adam Sina explains how when you want to jump up, what is the first thing you do?
You go down in order to jump up.
You don't jump. We want to jump up, you have to go down and jump. In other words, in order to get up, we have to go down first. So in other words, the whole world is built on, for example, do you see the written words? On the Kabbalah, this is missing. Because the white is the whole, and the written black is really what is not there. In other words, the minute I read it, I fulfill the missing parts. And that's the way the whole world is built. On something that I'm missing, that I need, so I want to fulfill it. For example, when do I eat?
When I feel hungry.
And if you don't feel hungry, what would you eat?
No.
So in order to eat, you need to feel hungry. So, and that's everything in life, if you think about it. In order to achieve something, you need to want it. If you don't miss it, you don't want it. So this is, for example, like in order to get the idea, what is Agadata? Agadata, those the stories in the Gemara that looks like science fiction. And something, exaggerations that you cannot even believe. 2 billion people did this, or for example, when they say the age of Rachel and the age of Sarah. And the age of Rivka. And it sounds to us like, well, 3 years, well, it doesn't. Or Avraham Avinu find God in the age of 3 years or 4 years. So you have to understand that the idea here is not the physical age, the biological age, it's the spiritual age. For example, when the Torah tells us that Avraham Avinu found God at the age of 3 or 4, or the Chaim HaKadosh says 5 or 6, what does it mean? It means that in order to find God, you have to be like a kid that starts asking questions. Because if you look at the world with what you've got in your mind already, you won't find the truth. So you have to clean your head, be like a child that just now discovers the world, and start asking questions. Then you will find God. That's Avram finding God. In other words, it's not Avram, it's us. And it's not the age 3 or 4, it's cleaning your head to be like the age of 4 when you start asking questions. So everything in the Torah, even if it looks to us a little meshiga, believe me, it's so deep that it's unbelievable. We're talking now, for example, Ela Mishpatim. Our parsha is Mishpatim. It says, Ela Mishpatim asher tasim lifnim. Those are the laws that you will put in front of who? In front of Am Yisrael. And you would think that the laws that we put now will be laws that are the connection between us and God. For example, tefillin, mezuzah, talis, all the mitzvahs that are specially to Am Yisrael. Instead, we see the whole parsha talking about normal things that are really the way to behave in a normal society. So why is it Lifnehem? Why is it so important to put those certain law only in front of Am Yisrael and explain to them in a way that they will understand it, like to a place that Rashi says, what is Lifnehem? It's like you go to the market, you buy vegetables, meat, you come home, you cook it, then you put seasonings in it, and then you put it on the plate, and then you put a knife and a fork, and then you eat. He says to Moshe Rabbeinu, if you think you can give them the laws 1, 2, 3 times and then say, I did my share, no. You have to put it in front of them like a ready meal put on the plate with the fork and knife. You just have to eat. In other words, not vegetable from the market, not meat from the market, not cooked, but ready to eat with the tools to eat. So, in other words, what is so important about those mitzvahs? If this is the way the Torah is describing this idea, and we see that it all, like, if you look through it, they are talking about the behavior we should behave with our fellow men, if it's the laws of a slave, if you loan somebody money, and if you see somebody in problems. But the whole world behaves like this. So what's the problem? And then there is a law that says that you're not allowed to go to a normal court. You have to go to a Beis Din. Why are you not allowed to go to a normal court if somebody stole from me money? It would be the same thing. If he stole money, he has to give it to me back. I'll go to a normal court, or I go to a Beis Din. What's the difference? So the Torah says there is a difference, and there is a big difference. So what does it mean? We don't understand even what the Torah is telling us. For example, if we're talking about loaning money to our friends, to a fellow Jew, the Torah is not allowing you to take interest. The goyim, they've got no problem with interest. So the Torah tells you, you're not allowed to take interest from your friend, Jew, but you're allowed to take interest from a goy. And it sounds like, 1 minute, doesn't sound right. Why? If you don't take interest from nobody. He's also a human being.
But you have to make a living too.
It's not only making the living. It's I behave to my fellow Jew the same way as I behave with myself. He's a part of me. We are one. And we give money to each other with no interest. But the goyim, they have no problem with interest. They cannot tell us don't take interest because they will take interest from us and they take also interest from each other. So in other words, I'm not doing anything wrong if I take interest from a goy because he is doing the same. But I am not doing it to my fellow men because I'm ordered to give my fellow Jew with no interest. And by the way, it's not so simple. Because for example, when you go to a shop and it tells you, this is the price cash. And that's the price if you pay me in payments. That's interest. You're not allowed to do it. So what do you do? Everybody's doing it. But you have to give a price and you tell the price you can pay me in 12 payments, 10 payments. And when you give me the whole money now, I can give you discount. It is also not so simple. I'm just telling you the way to put it. But definitely, if you put two prices, that's interest. Need to be one price. You can give a discount from certain reasons, but you cannot say that the reason you give a discount is because he pays you cash. It's very complicated. There are books.
The banks in Israel.
The banks have what they have, eter iska. In order to maintain normal, let's say, economic, our sages are not stupid. So they build a thing that's called Eter Iska. Eter Iska means that the bank is doing an agreement with you and you are a partner with the bank in the profit and in the losses. And in this way, they rabbis are doing it, they're giving you a certain certificate. This way the bank can pay, take interest, and you're allowed to pay interest. Because you have to understand, it's not only that you don't allow to take interest, you're also not allowed to give interest. It goes both ways. No interest. Not giving and not taking. So this is, for example, in 2 minutes, something about our laws. And it's not, it's only a small example. You know, a few years ago, I have to say, I saw this, I'm going in the street, and I see this big sign, which is written, "So good, it is like a sin." So good, it is like a sin. In English, not in Hebrew. In Israel. And you know, what's this? What's they talking about? And then a week later, they had this picture of, you know what YOLO is?
What?
YOLO? This chocolate thing that you buy in the, you know or not?
Of course, chocolate.
Yeah, so that was the advertisement for YOLO.
Oh. Uh-huh.
What is YOLO? You only live once. Now think about this. This is the Western world. Sin is good. Doing mitzvahs is not so good. Why? Because it feels like a sin if I eat YOLO. What did we get to? And then, on top of it, they write it in English. You know, and that's the way the world looks about what's happening.
But it's kosher.
For them, I'm not talking about kosher, not kosher. I think to use an advertisement like this, it's so missing the point. Because what you say to people, it didn't miss the point, because it was very good for people, for normal people. But somebody who believes in God, to put it in your mind that a sin is good, tastes good, and what does it mean? That being righteous is not so good. So what are you really telling people? Sin, enjoy life, eat and drink, because tomorrow you're going to die. You only, YOLO, you only live once. That's what it's really saying. You only live once. And you know, think about it, and that's what's great, the Torah says, "Ele ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem." We look at life differently. For us, the taste of life is not Coca-Cola. The taste of life for us is Torah. Ta'am ha-chaim, ze lo Coca-Cola. Ze Torah. And it's amazing what they tell us. And you know, they put it in their mind, it's like brainwashing us. That people think, and what if you look at the goyim, for them to be holy, what does it mean? What is holy in the eyes of the Christians or the Muslims? To separate yourself from all the joys of life. The priests don't even marry, some of them, because to get married is a sin. Only simple people. If you want to be holy, you cannot be married.
You're married to God.
I know, the funny thing is, you go to the Vatican and you see how they live there, yeah. And with all the preaching to be modest, and they live very, very, very good. And I'm not going to talk about what the other things they do, but
the Mashem of Zech opened an embassy for the Palestinians.
It's just showing us, that this world is not our world. Our world is the Torah. And that's what the Torah is telling us. Ele ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem. And that it means, as we talk about things, yes, you should enjoy life, you should enjoy YOLO, but not because it tastes like a sin. Because it gives you power to do mitzvahs. And yes, you can enjoy. And on the contrary, mitzvah gdola liyot besimcha. And I say, Simcha gdola liyot b'mitzvah. It's a great happiness to do mitzvahs. And that's exactly the point. And we see they brainwash us all the time. And we have to get married, and we have to bring kids to the world, and we have to enjoy what God is giving us, but we elevate it. We take it for a reason, because we are here to do mitzvahs. אלה המשפטים אשר תשים לפניהם. We take even coffee and elevate it. Because we bless. We say a brocha. And everything we do. The first mitzvah is pru urvu milut haaretz. It's the first mitzvah. Should multiply. How can you multiply if you're not getting married? I mean getting married. I mean what they do those priests. Yes, sorry. That's what, by the way, one of the interesting things in the parsha is saying, Anshei Kodesh Tiyuli. What is Anshei Kodesh Tiyuli? You should be holy people. What is holy people? What is the Torah telling us Anshei Kodesh? Because the Torah is telling us you are not angels. You are people, human beings. You have desires, you have problems, but that's what I want. That's why I put it here. I don't want you to be angels. I want you to be people that fight their desires and do the right thing. Because otherwise, God didn't have to create us. We could stay up there in heaven as an neshama with no body and everything is okay. But that's exactly the point. We came to this world for a mission. And the mission is keep the mitzvahs, do the Torah. That the whole world was built for it. And you have to suffer while you do it? Mapitom. Who says? On the contrary, you have to enjoy it. Because God is our loving Father. He wants only the best for us. And He's telling you, Anshei Kodesh Tiyuli, I know your problem, but that's what I want. That's why I put you here. For example, tell us, Lo Tachmod. What is Lo Tachmod? What is Lo Tachmod? No, generally, what is Lo Tachmod? Not only in women. You shouldn't want something that your friends got. That's Lo Tachmod. Lo Tachmod Eshet Re'echa, of course. You shouldn't desire your friend's wife. And you shouldn't... But you also, Lo Tachmod... How can you control this thing of Lo Tachmod? How can you?
Jealousy.
I see... How can you? Can you control jealousy?
Yes.
You see your friend has got this new car. So you see, what? Your friend got a new kitchen. You see, your friend got... It's not... You are a very tzaddikah, but not everybody is like this. You see? Some of us are not. And we're talking to everybody. And how do we deal with it? Because a normal guy will tell you, if I see somebody, my friend, my best friend, has got everything, and I haven't got nothing, or I have less, something here is working on me. So how do I fight it? What do I do not to get to this point? So, there is a very interesting thing. The Evan Ezra writes, Lo Tachmod. Anashim rabim itme'u. A lot of people will wonder on this mitzvah. Al zot ha-mitzvah. Ech yeh adam shelo yachmod davar yafeh? How can be somebody who doesn't desire something beautiful in his heart? Kol ma shehu nechmad lemaray enav. Everything he likes, he desires. You like it, you want it, you desire it. He says, I'll give you a lesson how you can do it. How do you say mashal in English, by the way?
Sample.
Sample is a mashal?
No,
mashal. Mashal. Sample is dugma. Mashal. How do you say? Oh, never mind. Let's say dugma. Okay, everybody understand what we mean. What is the mashal he's giving us in Ezra? Da ki ish kafri sheyesh lo de'a nechona, a village guy who's got the right common sense, and he sees Batamelech, the princess, the daughter of the king, she's beautiful. He wouldn't desire her in his heart. Why? Ki yada, ki ze lo yitachen. Because you know, it's impossible. I am a peasant. What do I have to do with this princess? Nothing with me to do. Ve'al yachshov, tachshov ze kafri shu ikechad min ha-mishugim. Ve'if, it will be like one of the Michiganers, that thinks that he can fly like a chicken, like a bird.
Yeah.
You can fly like a bird? No, you've got no wings. The same way, would not desire to marry the princess. You know, I thought about this, and I thought this, 1 minute, I don't know. It's very hard to understand. Maybe 200 years ago. Today, you can dream, and you can want whatever you want, and can happen. For example, in the United States of today, you have a... Who is the president there now? So would somebody even tell you that Trump is going to be the president 10 years ago? Would somebody believe him? In other words, somebody who is not qualified to be a president, he's got money. That's what he's got. He can achieve to be a president of the United States. And not only him. You had a few people in the government that were actors. What is this? What is his name?
Reagan.
Not only Reagan. What's this? Like, what is this? This muscle guy?
Schwarzenegger.
You know, you think about it. Somebody will laugh. What's going on here? In other words, today, to tell me that I cannot, as a peasant, desire the princess, doesn't work, because you can desire anything you want, and it can happen. The poor guy of today can be a millionaire tomorrow. The peasant that didn't learn anything can be tomorrow. I don't want to say didn't learn anything, to be the president of the United States, of those states. Everything can happen. So in other words, how do we deal with it today? But you have to see, what he is really telling us, the Ibn Ezra, it's much deeper. He is telling us that you wouldn't even want what the other's got, the same way as a peasant doesn't want to be a prince, and the same way as you're not a bird and you cannot fly. What does it mean? You have to be satisfied with what you've got. In other words, if you understand and realize that what you've got is the best, my wife, my husband are the best in the world. My house, the best in the world for me. My car, the best car in the world for me. For me, what I've got is the best. Now, if I've got the best, would I want something from somebody else? No. So in other words, the way, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying the way. We have to go. But you see, if you try to work and on your mind this way, you will feel much calmer, much better. You know, I always remember my friend coming to me with this new big car. Everything is electronic. Everything. And you know, I'm talking about 10 years ago. Yeah, he talked to the car and the car was going. And the wheel, everything was going automatically by voice. And all the best technology that the world's got. No. The normal thing would be to be jealous about it. My friend is 100% crippled. So there's nothing to be jealous of. Unfortunately, we don't always see it. And we think to ourselves, wow, look what he's got. It's like to be jealous in a guy that's got a full cupboard with medicine. Because he's got a terrible disease, a terrible illness. Would I be jealous? The same way, I don't have to be jealous with nothing that my friend got. Because for me, it's not going to be good. It's going to be good only for him. Each one of us has got the right thing for himself. Now, if we think like this, we can fight Lo Tachmod. Now it starts to sound a little logical. I'm not saying it's easy. It could be very hard. But that's our job. Eile mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. You have to understand and realize, our laws are not the same laws as the others. But this is the right way. And the right way is when we listen to the Torah and we understand the laws. And that's why those special laws are the one that we're starting the Mishpatim. The Torah wants to tell us, if you think that our laws have anything to do with their laws, you're mistaken. Even if it sounds the same and looks the same, it's not the same. That's why he told Moshe Rabbeinu, those laws, you have to put in front of them that they will understand. Now, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh asks an interesting question. He says, why is it that those special laws? Because there are a lot of other laws, Ben Adam LeChaveru. And he says a very interesting answer. You see, we don't expect everybody to know everything. As you were asking questions, other were asking questions, I ask questions, because we don't know everything. But there are certain basic things for the daily life that we need to know. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, in our parasha we have those special laws that we need to know them by ourselves. In other way, we cannot go to the rabbi for everything that happens in our life every day. Because it's impossible. There are certain things that we need to know by ourselves. Other things, we have rabbis. You don't have to know everything. But certain things, you have to know them. How to live your daily life, so you don't have to go to the rabbi for every, sorry to say, stupid question. And that's why those special laws are very important to understand them completely. Now, we've been talking about a Hebrew slave. What is the Torah starting with a Hebrew slave? Are there any slaves today? The Torah is for eternity. So why is the Torah starting with Hebrew slave? Start with something that we have always. Who's got a Hebrew slave today?
My husband.
You're laughing? But we all are Hebrew slaves. All of us. Look at the bank account. Look at your loans. Look at the mortgages. Look at the standard of living. We look at our desires. We are slaves of our desires. We are slaves of the banks. We are slaves of the world. Like this guy said, there are no slaves today. He says, go to the mirror. Look at the mirror. And how true it is. So the Torah is starting with, yes, the laws of slaves. But to tell you that you have an option. Everybody is a slave. Eved Hashem, hu levad hachofshi, says Eben Gvirol. The slave of God is the only free one. In other words, you have the neshama, the seichel, and you have your heart, the desires. Now, who controls you? The head or the desires? If the desires, you are the worst slave. If the head, then you are a slave of God, and that's being free. What do I mean? I'm still a slave. No. Imagine to yourself that somebody comes to you, and he's got everything. He's got the power, endless power. He's got money, and he says, I want you to be my slave. What would you say? Go to hell. I don't want to be nobody's slave. Says, one minute, listen to my offer. He says, I want you to do what I'm telling you to do. In the meanwhile, while you're doing it, I'm giving you a villa in Kfar Shmaryahu, four Mercedes, whatever, what car you choose. You can choose five best cars of the world. You want the books of Torah, Gemara, Mishnah, everything. Servants, all the appliances, everything. I only want you to keep those mitzvahs I'm giving you. I know I don't want to add something else. The reward on those mitzvahs, you know who's going to get? You, not me. Now, would you be the slaves of this guy? You will jump.
Of course.
And what is God telling us? Be my slaves. I give you everything. Listen to me. You get everything. You get Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. So who is stupid enough to be slave of somebody else? That's why the Torah is starting with the laws of slave. To understand and realize at the end of the day, everybody is a slave. Everybody has to listen to somebody. Everybody has to do certain things. And be old and choose the right slave. Don't be the slave of the desires. You know, the neshama came down, says Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The neshama is put in the body. Who is the slave and who is the servant? And who is the master?
Neshama.
Neshama is what?
The master.
And the body?
The slave.
The slave. Unfortunately, what happens now sometimes?
It's mixed up.
The body is the master and the neshama is the slave. So in other words, to talk about a slave is the right thing in the right place. And I will end this. They said that kone, mi shekone eved ivri, kone adon la'atzmo. If somebody buys a Hebrew slave, he buys really a master, not a slave. What does it mean? The Torah tells you, let's imagine to yourself you have a slave, and now evening comes, you have a steak, and you have an egg. Who is going to eat the steak? Who is going to eat the egg? Who? The master is going to eat the steak? No. The slave is going to eat the steak, and the master is going to eat the egg. You have one pillow to sleep on. Who is going to take the pillow? The Torah tells you, the slave. What's going on here? What kind of slave is this? That's exactly what the Torah is telling you. Hebrew slave. Hebrew slave is a different slave. He's not a slave, he's a master. If you listen to God, you're not slaves. You're masters. Be'ezrat Hashem.